there are structures in place that keep people out.
Yes.
And that's the language. It's how people, oh, this is a very hard area and you won't be able to understand it.
I really did enjoy the formal coding courses. I kind of did that along with textbooks and building my own stuff.
And building my own stuff was so much more fun. And trying to talk to people and say, yes, I've built this thing. It's intended to change the way you build artificial intelligence, because I think it's pretty broken the way we build it right now. And people are like, well, what do you, like, why would I believe you? This might be a spicy topic, but I don't really value experience, in my opinion. I think experience is just another barrier. People.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Pass and Covered. And now I feel like I've got this like real radio jockey kind of accent vibe kind of going. I'm like, oh my God. But we are back and we're back again in person. I think most of the season is going to be in person, which is very exciting. And I've got the fabulous Samantha, who goes by Sam, I think.
Yes, Sam.
Wow, I really should have checked that before, when, I think. But I'm very excited. And yeah, hi, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was like, we were saying this earlier. I'm like, we'll try and talk about how we kind of ran into each other. Hilariously enough, we had just finished recording the last episode in the same venue. And I was like, oh, there's an AI meetup in the city. And I kind of wandered over because it was essentially down the road from here.
So close.
And I essentially just walked into you.
Yeah. And I was like, hi.
And like, I was like, you were, and I think it's one of those things. Most meetups you kind of go, especially if you're going alone, it's like, who can I turn to and find? And
it's so daunting.
It's awful. I hate it. I'm like, it's so much easier when you can have like, hi, I'm going to bring a person that I have someone to turn to and pretend I'm not a loner to talk to. And I think it's a women thing too. Like, I hear it from a lot of women being like, I go to these tech meetups and
it's just a sea of dudes.
Sea of dudes. And they all just want to talk to each other. And you're like, okay. Like, I'm not saying that they won't talk to you, but it's like, it's harder to go into a group of five guys and being like, hi, I'm here now, let's talk to me.
Yeah. I actually went to a, like for International Women's Day, there was a meetup and I brought my co-founder Josh, and it was like a sea of women and like very few guys. And he was like, I kind of understand what you have to go, like, because he felt really out of place. And he was like, there's a lot of empathy here now.
Now
it makes sense.
I've heard that a few, like from a lot of women like focused kind of groups or whatever, like men go and they're like, oh my God, is this what it's like? Welcome to the other side.
Oh no.
But sorry, we should do an introduction. Sam, do you want to introduce yourself to the people listening? Just give a very quick high level who you are, because we are going to talk all about your life in a minute.
Yes, so very quick rundown. I'm Sam. I co-founded Decoded AI, which is a SaaS platform that helps AI-first teams understand their risks that they're building in their system. So from security, compliance, to ethics. So I have a real focus on communicating what's really important of a system from a technical standpoint to the business. So that's my work. I dedicate my life kind of to that. And then aside from that, I am a muso. I'm a musician, and I've recently taken up tango dancing.
Oh my God, I love that. And hilariously enough, we were just talking about dancing at the last episode too, like she does bachata dancing.
Oh yes. Oh my God.
I feel like bachata, I should know it better because she's talked a lot about it. I'm like, wow, I can't pronounce it correctly, but
yeah, bachata is awesome. Yeah. I did that back in uni, and it's like an amazing dance. There are so many dance forms that I'm just like, I wish I had all the time in the world.
No, I love that though. Like, I mean, especially given the context of like just any bit of like body movement helps rid of the rest of the day.
Stress. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I can go into all about like the tango. It's like, it lives in tension. I love talk. Yeah. So we can go back to
it. We will
later.
Be talking about it. Don't you worry. I feel like season two of the podcast is going to be a very talk about depression, stress, and
how do we deal with it?
It was a very heavy topic last time, which is why I'm like, I like this. This is essentially what we're all dealing with, especially since it's a Melbourne thing and it's a lot of rest and remaining tension left in our bodies, I think. But look, let's dive in. Let's bring me back all the way to high school, kind of college or even school. Like, bring me back to start, right? Like, what were the kind of original like thoughts and things of like, this is where my life is going to be?
Yes. So I kind of identified as a very creative person. I was a muso in school. I loved art, languages, English. I never saw myself doing technology whatsoever. I
Especially in primary school, I really struggled with maths. My brother is a software engineer, and some like I still remember when I was like trying to learn my times tables and all of this, and he was just like, "Why don't you understand this?" And it was my brain just didn't work for maths back in primary school. And because it was kind of my family had kind of he was the first to go to university, so they kind of had the maths is really important, and so. Yep. It's not that they didn't value that creative side. They loved it. They really like pushed me to perform and build those skills. There was always like a, you need to improve your maths. You need to be like, that needs to also be at the forefront. So I guess throughout high school has like had me grappling with that kind of technical side. I actually lived in Spain for a year. I forgot. Yeah. So in year nine, I was, my brother was living in Spain. So I went to live with him because my mom's Chilean. And I was starting to kind of lose the Spanish as a language. And so mom was like, yep, you're going to go to school for a year and gain that back.
In year nine?
In year nine.
Oh my God.
So I just lived with my brother.
Sorry, how old was your brother at that time?
He was in his 30s. So we have like quite a big difference between us.
Oh my God. I was like, for a second, I was like, huh? Another 20-year-old just like, oh my God. I've moved around a lot in school in like multiple times throughout school and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that year nine in different, one off year. Yeah. Wow.
And I'd actually, like, I had my group of friends. I was happy. I was like, Mom, I don't want to go to another country. But honestly, like, it was amazing. Like, I made great friends and learning a different culture. Like, Europe between Australian kids, like, to me, especially like in Spain, they were very mature. I was like a nerd with my books. I was like, not really, like, I didn't understand like that cultural shift. Like, staying out, having dinner at 9, 10 p.m., I was.
Yeah.
It's a cultural shock. But it was great because I learned to engage with like different people and just be a bit more comfortable. I was very introverted. And so I just became a bit more extroverted through that time.
Yep.
So that was cool. And then, I came back, did my year 10 to 12 in a very musical school in Sydney. And there were kind of two streams, really, when you were kind of in the music. There was either you went to the Conservatorium of Music or you didn't. And I was in that kind of stream of like really intense. But then I started really, it became too stressful for me. Music was about expressing myself and enjoyment. And I started losing that. It became stressful. And so I realized I actually don't want to do music as a career.
Yep.
I did the international baccalaureate, so it gave me like a few options. It's a quite an all-rounded qualification, and I had no clue what I wanted to do. So I finished high school and I went pretty well. Like I got a really good ATAR and had my pick at what I wanted to do. My mum was like, you should do law. You're good at language and speaking and all of that. And like, you know, the classic, like if you're good at writing, then you do law. If you're good at maths, you go into engineering.
Yeah. There's only three streams.
There's only three strings or medicine. And then I was like, I really don't think I'm going to enjoy that. So I did arts. I did the most generic degree because I thought I could really kind of try different courses and see what would work for me. At this time, I did not think I would go into tech still.
Yep.
So I went to the ANU, Australian National University, doing arts, focusing in international relations. I was interested in policy, a lot of like just learning about what countries are doing. And through that, I did a course in linguistics. I'm like, oh my gosh, linguistics is awesome. So I focused my major in linguistics and arts. And in that, I found a love for analyzing language and analyzing how people wield language.
Linguistics. I feel like I kind of know what it is. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what linguistics actually means?
So
it's one of those things, like it's a word that I think I know, but I actually don't think I do.
Yeah. So linguistics is just the analysis of language, and it's broken up into like different parts. So you have like the phonetics, which is sounds, and then you have morphology, which is breaking up sentences. So they're like different parts of the words. You have semantics, which is like the arrangement of words.
semantics. I'm missing one. And then you have pragmatics, which is like meaning.
Yeah.
It's a big area, but like it's just analyzing how people use language itself.
Yeah. And where did you fit into it then?
I really enjoyed semantics, like finding like the meaning part. Pragmatics was also really interesting. Also phonetics, I liked all of it. And in uni, like I did most of the courses that like went around it. The one that I really didn't enjoy was morphology. That was a bad course.
I feel like there's no person out there who's done any college degree or in any kind of education and been like, everything was great. I'm like, there was more than one for me, but somehow. I'm like, that one that you're like, oh no.
So I was in a very art stream, but like my friends were all in maths and in law, like they were all kind of not in arts. I always surrounded myself with very smart people and I always like to be the dumbest person in the room. Yeah. So I became friends with my co-founder in third year, and he was actually, we became friends through a band, so he is a guitarist.
I love that music has played such music a big part is throughout. Like even like linguistics as a choice, like was still very musically like influenced. Yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's still there. I love that.
All of that. We became friends through that. And he basically was involved in kind of the entrepreneurial area, innovation, really deep tech. And it was very interesting. I like got a little peek into it and I was like, ooh, that's on the other side, like I can't understand that. And then he was in a group of three and that kind of imploded on itself. And I was like, oh no, like what you were doing was so cool. And like, I think it could really help people. So why don't I help you whenever like you want? And then, so I started getting a bit involved in that project, and turns out like it was real deep cryptography, zero knowledge. Like it was very deep tech, which I had no idea about at the time. And what we did was we had like a 4-hour session in ANU with like a windowless room with like a giant whiteboard. And he like went into the depth of what is this technology, like from someone who had no clue about like tech whatsoever, like had like did fine in maths, didn't do great, but like wasn't bad. But like, yeah. So in those 4 hours, that was really pivotal for me, because it was someone taking the time to be like, these words are a barrier. Like you can understand them, and kind of took down that barrier being like, oh yes, those are words that I understand. And kind of showed a way for me to actually do research on my own and how to understand this myself.
Yeah. Even just a pointer of like, hey, this is what you can Google to understand later. Like it makes such a difference. And yeah. I mean, there is such value, and it's so underappreciated as a skill of someone just being like, let me just start from scratch. Yeah. Like, let me bring it. And that was like the first, I mean, it was very similar for me where it was like the first job and they were like, hey, all these like SQL, do you know what that is? I'm like, I don't know. That's like letters, I guess. Like, is that English? I don't know. Yeah. And they like, what, like this person who's done SQL and like breathed it his whole life, which is a programming language, like a 30 odd year, probably more career in it. And he sat down and was like, okay, so a table, this is a date, like a very basic level. And like that changed a lot of stuff for me. And I think it's just, it really does. It's those pivotal things of really small, basic things, but it goes such a long way. And people just don't do it enough.
No. And it was a real like testament to how, like, there are structures in place that keep people out.
Yes.
And that's the language. It's how people, oh, this is a very hard area and you won't be able to understand it if you've done 4-unit maths So that was huge for me. And then I started, so the idea was a secure computational marketplace. In cryptography, that idea failed, but it was hell of fun just doing it and learning, getting exposed to secure artificial intelligence, building secure artificial intelligence. I started coding, and in my fourth year I had a few electives left, so I did all the coding courses I could. I really did enjoy the formal coding courses. I kind of did that along with textbooks and building my own stuff, and building my own stuff was so much more fun.
Yeah.
And I actually learnt it instead of just like, here are some things that you need to do and learn, and that's it.
I look at it sometimes. I know people who talk about the degrees and stuff they've done, or I had a friend who did a master's in like some bioinformatics, but like the tech side, like one of the modules was her learning SQL, which was funny because it was at the same time I was learning SQL. I'm like, hey, send me your notes. Like, send me what you're doing. This is an easy way for me to learn it. And I'm not joking. Her exam was like a written exam. And I'm like, hurry, programming language? And she was literally like, I actually do need to know that. I'm like, oh, the syntax just comes up. It does it itself. And she's like, no, I need to know what syntax goes where because I have to write it out. I'm like, huh?
No.
How is that any way useful? Yeah. Like, that doesn't make sense. And I think, yeah, education is still so far behind in how it's being done. It's going to change, don't get me wrong. But I think it was interesting when you mentioned that gatekeeping. I've had this conversation before where when you look at tech, tech itself is not hard in an essence of what it is, right? No. It's like it's been made to be hard.
To keep people out.
To keep people out. It's built to be gatekeeping and it's built to have this language around it where it's not inclusive and it's... The programming languages don't need to be as complicated as they are.
No.
If they had just had basic documentation that men could write. In the beginning, that we would have all been fine. Like, we wouldn't be doing what we have to do to struggle
like,
through it.
To me, what's a pet peeve is when they have like small niggling like names or just like in jokes of the community that only if you're in the community you can understand. And I'm just like, this is really deep.
Yes.
This is.
Or like, it's not been built for an exclusive environment.
No.
And it was interesting. Sorry, this is such a tangent.
No.
It's interesting the people who started building tech originally, right? Mm-hmm. Back along in like 20 odd, 30, whatever many years. They were essentially looked at as the, what's the term I'm thinking of? The outsiders, right? Like they were not necessarily in the cool group. Like tech has become very cool now, don't get me wrong. Not everywhere.
With the tech bros and all of that.
Not everywhere, don't get me wrong. I still get called a nerd every other day. We had a full out discussion about like whether someone is a geek or a nerd. And I was like, oh, like I am a nerd and I'm okay with that. But like at the same time, I'm not as nerdy as other nerds. It was a whole discussion. But
it's funny that this is like still a discussion as well.
I know. And I'm like, everyone's a nerd about something. Like you just get to pick what you're a nerd about.
And to be honest, it's not cool not to be a nerd. Like if you're not passionate about something, then...
Exactly. And I was like, oh, I don't even remember. This was like a random weekend away kind of a discussion. And we're like, it's like 2 a.m. discussions. And you're like, yeah, well, of course it's going to end up in flames. But... people who were the outsiders, instead of building something that could have been inclusive to everyone, almost built it for themselves as a outsidey thing and that no one else could get into because then they wanted, it was their thing. Like, and I mean, I get where that started from, right? I kind of get that. But even as the things are changing now, like it's still very much just, it's a whole different click in and of itself, which you still just can't get into. And it's sad, but like, I mean, there's so much work being done to break that down.
Yeah,
but
It can be just a very isolating experience going through it. We can go into it a bit later.
Yeah, which is where I was like, I mean, I was going to lead to it, but bring me back to, so we've just started understanding things and gone through the first one.
Yeah. So, I was working on that company, that idea, really, and about to graduate university. And I was like, okay, what am I doing with my life? I have a arts degree and I added security on that in that time. It's a very messy like story. And then I was like, yes, I need a job. So I applied for EY in their risk advisory. I think you were also in that. So I was in their cyber security team. Went through all the interviews, somehow got in. And it was really fun kind of talking to people as you like in your previous podcast, like seeing so many different problems. And I learned a lot about just how teams work, what a good culture really was, because I never saw myself I get very, not bored easily, but I like having autonomy on what I do. So I knew I wouldn't be kind of working for someone my whole life. And the goal was always to be in startups and work on my ideas. So I guess I was almost, taking notes of what culture I really wanted to have as well. So I worked there for a year and a half as well, part-time working on the company. It pivoted. We spoke to hundreds of ML engineers, AI researchers, data consultants, just like getting a lot of information to understand what kind of the industry, where the industry is at, what is needed. And we realized that secure AI couldn't really be adopted until we could really understand what AI systems were doing in itself. Like people can't talk about AI right now.
There isn't a set definition for artificial intelligence. Everyone's still kind of arguing what it is. Actually, over the past few years, Josh and I like kind of feel like we've landed on the one that we really like, which is artificial intelligence is a cultural practice of ceding decisions to autonomous systems that actively co-shape us. So what that means, and like what makes AI special, is that you are bestowing decisions, are bestowing power to this machine. And what that has changed in an AI engineer is that software engineers and other technology engineers don't have to do is they have to persuade people to trust in the system that they've built. So we kind of came to this point of understanding. It was a lot of philosophy in there as well, reading a lot of Kierkegaard and Plato, Aristotle, coming to like, well, what's the biggest problem in AI? And that is build engineering trust. And that's the problem now that I'm trying to solve. So that's how I got there. Left EY after a year and a half and wanted to go full time. We got a few grants from the ACT government. We were in Canberra, from defense, built some stuff for them. And then we got into SciRise, which is a cybersecurity accelerator, and then moved to Melbourne.
Oh my God. Okay. So like much to dive into in yeah. there. I like it. So in terms of the actual startup now, so Decoded mm-hmm. AI, so this mm-hmm. is what we're building, we're talking about security and like the engineering trust and building that out mm-hmm. and stuff, right? What, like, where do you fit into that? Like, what do you see as your role within the startup? And the only reason I'm asking that is more mm-hmm. is like, how was it pivoting kind of into this whole tech side of things?
Yeah, yeah.
Coming from that background, right? Which I mean, yes, a lot of people on this podcast who've come in, like, it's gotten the same experience, but what was it like for you? Breaking it down kind of yourself on the side a little bit with the college help and stuff, like you did pick up a few different things in fourth yeah. year, but yeah, talk to me about what exactly the role is now and how it mm-hmm. worked itself into that.
Yeah, okay. I'll let me know if I'm not answering what you
I don't
intended.
Even know what my question is anymore because I rambled so much, but do what you want with it. Yeah.
So I guess what you've noticed is that my role has changed a lot with the company yeah. as it's evolved. I find it very rare for startups to stay with the original idea. So while we were talking to a lot of people, we were doing a lot of outreach, collating information. So I was much more kind of the spokesperson talking to people,
yep.
Kind of relaying it back. Josh also was my co-founder. He had a bit more experience coding and was a lot more comfortable than I was. So he was much quicker than I was at doing all of that stuff. So he was kind of building as fast as he could. I would jump in when I had time as well.
Yep.
And what we found was that was a really good divide at the beginning. But then as the product started building and getting into its physical form, I felt very like, how would I say, like, non-involved in it. So then we kind of almost switched. I wanted to say.
Yep.
And so I started building more and he started going out to talk to people. And what that really did was give me confidence in my skills and in the technical world. But also realized that's not what I enjoy. I love talking to people. I love talking about ideas and bridging that kind of gap and wielding discourse in the way that works for our company.
Yep.
So right now we have built it. It's working. We've had initial users and I guess my role is selling, getting it in front of people, getting it into the right doors, which can be, I don't have to tell how yep. difficult it can be as a young woman trying to talk to people and say, yes, I've built this thing. It's intended to change the way you build artificial intelligence because I think it's pretty broken the way we build it right now. And people are like, well, what do you, like, why would I believe you?
Yeah. And I've heard like, we want to build a product that can help you believe things, but don't believe me.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, essentially I've been on both sides. And I think I like living in that middle bit.
Yep. And I mean, there is so much to be said in terms of, especially in partnerships and like, oh, startups, mm-hmm. like even more so than anything else, essentially knowing how you work together, mm-hmm. like the whole like, no, this is what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone to do this bit. Like there is such a like nuance to that, and it takes so long to get. And I'm glad like it's hard.
It is.
I've seen like, oh my God, I see it all the time. Like especially like working with a lot more startups in person now and mm-hmm. stuff. And I mean like Gretch, who again, sorry, last episode, which mm-hmm. is why I'm like, it's kind of fresh in my head, but like they're a team of three technical mm-hmm. female vendors.
Wow. Yeah.
So you can imagine how amazing that is in yeah. terms of funding.
Oh my gosh.
So like, as in it's constant stress in terms of like, I mean, it was funny. One of the questions, she's like, oh, what do you value less over time? And she's like, money. And then the thing, and she's like, wait, very ironic as a startup person being like, I don't value money, but actually give me all the money in the world because mm-hmm. I need to build this thing. Mm-hmm. But there is nuance to it. And I'm like, it takes so much effort. And I think
it is.
There is a real piece in there in terms of being okay with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, because people don't accept it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's sad when they're like, no, but I swear I can do it. And like, mm-hmm. you don't have to. Yeah. And there is a piece in there of like, it's hard to get to that level.
Yeah. And one day maybe I'll go back to it and spend more time in it and find my niche that I really enjoy. But I don't have the time for that right now.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know what, I'm like, people say this. I'm like, I'm a data consultant, but like, I don't know what my data skills are, but my consulting skills are great. Like, I can do the rest. I know I have the like intelligence to be able to figure out and learn from the other stuff. But yeah, like there is, it takes so long to just figure out who the hell you are and what you're good at.
Exactly. And I'm so lucky that like my co-founder, he's just so happy to like, we have great communication, and that's why like we've been working together for the last 4.5 years. And I don't think we've ever had a major fight about the company, because I am the CEO, he's a CTO. So we have a very clear kind of structure of like how decisions are made, if there is kind of any tension, how we work through it. But in the end of the day, I make the choice.
Yeah.
Which is that's how it is.
Yeah. I like that. I love that. Makes me happy when I hear it. But yeah, I guess, so this is where we're at now. We're mm-hmm. looking for funding. We're looking to make it bigger and the scaling it out.
I guess, yeah. So we have gotten kind of a lot of grants from government, some investment from the accelerator. And currently we're just bolstering our metrics, getting kind of the KPIs that we need, KPIs for, do you know the acronym? What is it?
Performance indicators.
Key performance indicators.
Sorry, I thought you were looking for a different one than the KPI.
Yeah. Key performance indicators. For people who don't know, KPIs, most people do. I think we will be looking for funding eventually. But right now it's more just selling it, getting people using it, loving it, and telling me what's broken about it.
Yeah. Oh, fail fast. I love it.
Exactly.
Okay, so, oh my God, I love this, right? So let's dive in to our rapid fire, which is very much not rapid fire. So there's a couple of questions that mm-hmm. we'll be asking all the guests, because mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting. These are kind of just like very general philosophy life questions, I swear. That sounds very wishy-washy, but we will get to it. But the aim kind of is like, it's an interesting perspective everyone brings to it, to each of these questions. So there's no right or wrong answer, no short or long answer. As long as you want to go with it, I am happy to hear it all.
Nice.
And if you do feel like skipping one, feel free to be like, I don't know yet. We can come mm-hmm. back to it at one stage. So
I'll go pass.
Exactly. Completely fair. We won't judge. Okay. So the first question we're going to jump into is, what feels like the big secret of success to you in tech?
That is a big question.
Yeah, I wasn't joking, which is where I'm like, these are not rapid at all.
A big secret of success. At least personally for me, it's being okay failing. So a lot of the grants I failed the first time applying for it. The accelerator failed the first time applying for it. Building stuff fail all the time.
Yep.
So just being okay in that tension of like, it's okay if I don't know.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're like, I mean, there's like the whole thing of like surrounding yourself with smart people. I'm like, it's so much better when you don't know, but you've got people around you that know, and it's perfect.
Yes.
Best and worst decisions you've made in your career / your life. I'm not fussy about which one you want to pick.
The best decision I made in my life was probably moving to Canberra, because I lived in Sydney, quite sheltered life. Yep. I think most young girls have that, is like they're at home, and just living on my own, surrounding myself with really good people was like just, I think, the best decision I ever made. on par with deciding to just back myself and do my company. Yep. And then the worst decision I ever made. This is a bit deep. So I was at this like conference and someone blatantly was like, I can't, like, I don't think what you're doing is good. Like, you basically like are wasting your life and all of that. And I basically like yelled at them. And to be honest, I could have, in my opinion, been a lot more diplomatic and kind of used it as a teaching moment, but I let my anger take over me. And so I like blew up, didn't try to change this person's mind and just said, I don't care about you. Like, you can go F off.
I mean, I think it's a fair response, to be honest. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, the other end of it is like, who are you to have this opinion on my life?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever about like the product and you're like, oh, I don't see this succeeding because of X, Y, Z. That's fair. My life. Jeez.
It was a horrible thing. And like, I kind of spent a lot of time just being like, how could I have like made that experience better? Because it like everything happens for like, it sucks that there are experiences like that, but like I could have spent that time like, yeah, changing this person's mind or just, yeah, removing myself from a very toxic person instead of just engaging.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, it takes so long to get to that though. Like, yeah. I don't think I'm above that. Right?
It felt so good in the moment and then I felt guilt.
It's like, I don't know when I'll get above just being petty, but yep. Maybe yep. One day.
Yeah.
I guess actually, so your best attribute or the one habit that you think has helped you the most in just general?
Yeah, I there's a few ways of like saying this. I'm like gritty or like a cucaracha. Like I'm cockroach. Yep. If I want to do something, I will just like keep going. Doesn't matter if like we're broke or like no one is believing in what we're doing. So I really like, I think that's one of the, things that I really like about myself is that I have grit and I will keep going no matter what.
I mean, especially in the world you're living in the like the startup world, that is like the one thing, because yeah. The amount of times I'm like, sure, it's a constant like no one else seems to believe.
Yeah,
I'll have all the belief.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes a bit too much, but that's.
I don't think there is such a thing. No, you need to get through. Like you need something to pull you through, right? Yeah. And you're like, that is what will pull me through.
Yeah, yeah.
In hindsight, what do you wish you had done or spent more money on? Or is there any decision that you're like, oh, I wish I just, not question around regret necessarily, but it's just like, oh, like, I mean, I've done this in the past where I'm like, I didn't spend money on X because I didn't think it was valuable at the time, but like, I wish I'd just done it because it would have been so much shorter and things like that.
That's a good question. I would have spent more time on the things that give me energy. So when I was doing those reach outs, talking to a lot of people, it did get quite draining because I did get a lot of no's. I don't want to talk to you, even though you're doing research, you're not selling me anything. Yep. Don't get me even started on like the culture of people against like trying to talk to you. And like, yeah, anyway. So during that time, I wish I spent more focus on my mental health, like surrounding myself with like music and things that like just bring me joy as well, aside from work.
Yeah, I like that. That's a very, very good answer. Very topical for season two. I say two episodes in, but I think it's going to be very topical.
Yes.
What have you valued less over time?
What I have valued less? If I think this might be a spicy topic, but I don't really value experience, in my opinion. I think experience is just another barrier people put in front of people. Oh, you haven't done 10 years in this job, so then you don't deserve my time to speak to. And yes, like there are because there are so many people in the world, we have to have ways that filter people into our lives, but I don't think experience is one of them. So yeah, that's something I value less. If you are like in high school or uni and you want to talk to me, what do you want to talk about? Is it interesting? Let's talk.
It is a very spicy topic because people don't like hearing it. but I fully agree with that. And was one of the same answers that last time as well.
Oh, nice.
especially because I think, and I don't know if you face this, but I get this a lot where if it's just virtually someone like has read my resume and they're like, oh, this is what I want to reach out about. And then they see me and they're like, let me take that step back because that's not who I pictured in that same context. Yeah. And it gives me a lot of, it used to give me a lot of anxiety about like, please don't ask for my background because I don't know if I can justify why I'm in this role that I'm in. Because right? I don't know if it makes sense.
It doesn't, but...
And it shouldn't. And I mean, like, I'm valued for the things I bring to the table at the moment. It's a whole spiel around it, but yeah.
We should be valued on our ideas and how we solve problems and communicate. And it's not on if we've spent, time in a position.
And the other end is we're working with AI. Who knows? There is no 10 years to
experience it. A lot of techniques just haven't been around that long.
I mean, sorry. Yes, I do know there are 10 years of experiences that are valued in AI. But with what is happening right now, it's not like you need that.
It's evolved so much that like what was relevant 5 years ago is not relevant today.
Exactly. With therefore 5 years experience, still need it. What is your biggest current career insecurity?
My current career insecurity? We just talked about like the... that everyone is so focused on experience that can be really hard. And why I've spent time going through institutions, like going through SciRise Accelerator, getting awards. So I was awarded the one to watch in IT security 2022. And that was really helpful just getting into the rooms with CISOs because they're like, oh, we can talk to you now.
Yeah.
Like they don't say it blatantly like that, but that like more doors open when you achieve things and when you have things on the resume. And that's.
Yeah. Validation goes all
validation,
the way.
Validation,
That external validation. Like it does open doors. And I mean, the amount of like awards, I'm just like, I'm going to submit myself because
why not?
I deserve the award, but also I just need someone else to validate it.
Yeah. I need something on my resume that says I deserve to be in the room.
Exactly. What do you not feel guilty about anymore?
What don't I feel guilty about anymore? That's a good question. I think I'm currently working on that. Like I do have a lot of guilt in my work right now because I have a never-ending list of things to do. It's just us two. We haven't really raised money to hire other people to help us build it. So I constantly am prioritizing. And when I don't prioritize right, then that can be really hard. So I guess the question was, what don't I feel guilty about? Okay, I talked about what I do feel guilty about. I don't feel guilty about being a startup founder. I think that's something that I worked on a lot. I felt like I hadn't paid my dues to be in this position. And that's something that I realize now that like, no, I can be building this because it is the ideas that Josh and I created and we can build this.
Yep. Oh, I like that one. I really like that. And last but not least, when did you first feel successful and what does that word mean to you?
I first felt successful when I was 6 and I did my first violin concert by myself in front of like a lot of people. I was very nervous and I played Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
I love that.
I succeeded, but in kind of the professional life, it's a journey. I think most people say that. I don't know. Like each award, like I get, it's a great kind of like, yes, but what's next? I don't think there is a success. It's just a feeling of this is the right path for me.
Yep.
I guess that is success if I'm on the right path.
Yeah, exactly. And what does success mean to you? I guess, what does that look like to you?
Content, like being happy, not happy, but like contentness in the work that you're doing and feeling like the work you're doing is true to yourself and like what your values are. So for me, that's creating a world that is, has artificial intelligence that is compliant, secure, and ethical, reliable, all of these things that I don't think will happen if I don't build decoded AI. So that's
what it means to be.
I love that. And I love how you vape. And this is like the hallmark of like a good CEO, to be honest, where it's like you can actually like loop it all back in. Like, no, I swear I'm doing this for a reason. And my life, like, it makes sense.
It makes sense. It's nicely packaged.
Exactly. No,
even perfect. Though my life isn't nicely packaged, if I must say so.
No, and I think it's been a great conversation around all the different aspects of it. And like, I mean, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you want to talk about? That's fair if it's like, no, we did everything.
I guess the one thing is like, I find like a lot of founders only talk about like the like technical or like the work that they're doing. But in terms of like the non like work side, it was a big thing for me to start going to tango lessons. So I started that in.
We said we're going to come back to tango.
Yes. So it was like the beginning of this year in February. I was like, I've been saying that Josh and I wanted to go learn tango, and then we signed up and then we went to the first club because we've been in Melbourne now for a year and a half, have not made a single friend because I've been working constantly. So all my friends are in Sydney and Canberra. They come to visit, but like I haven't really met people in person. Yeah. So this is the time to be like actual contact with humans. Whoa.
Terrifying.
But it was amazing because we got, like at the beginning of this year, we started applying Decoded to open source models, and it was really hard. Like things were breaking, a lot of tension in work. And Tango became a release for me because the dance is made up of communication between a leader and a follower. And the leader is creating a dance where the follower is interpreting. And what the leader is trying to do is create these points of tension and coils of the body. And that's where you get those like kicks and those really tango moves is from like twist and release.
Yeah.
And so that's how I've been kind of getting that tension out through that.
I think we're going to have to go and do tango together sometime because this sounds amazing.
It's amazing.
And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. And I'm like, oh.
I'll bring you along. It'll be so fun.
I love this. Like, apparently I'm just collecting friends that do dancing now. And I'm like, I will be a dancer by the end of this year. I've decided now.
100%. You will be. It'll be amazing.
Sam, it's been great talking to you. I'm so thankful for your time, for you to come down and share all the things you've been through and everything that you're building, and I am absolutely so excited to build a more secure world with AI, and I'm so excited to see where you all get up to.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was amazing.
I love it. This is like me just randomly running it. I like this, like me used to be stalking people on LinkedIn. Now it's like me stalking people at live events and I'm like, hi, give me your LinkedIn, let's have a chat, let's go.
I promise I'm not a no.
But yeah, no, thank you so much for coming along. We're going to wrap it up there for this episode. Thank you for State Library Victoria for having us in this fabulous studio, which we'll be back a lot in, I think, over the next couple of weeks. So I'm really excited for all the ones that are coming up. And with that, let's wrap it up. And we'll be back again with another episode in the next couple of weeks. And we will all see you then. Thank you.